Good evening, friends. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time for being here this incredibly important evening. We have the opportunity this evening of welcoming in a special individual. Now, I'll tell you the truth is, it's actually welcoming a number of special individuals because I don't really believe that Rav Rimon is one person. Because it's not humanly possible to be doing everything that Rav Rimon is doing and be one person. Because on the one hand, you may get a chance to meet Rav Rimon, who is the Rav Yeshuv of a significant shul in Alon Shvut. A Rav of a Kehila. A Rav of a Kehila is more than a full-time job. It's a job at all night, all day, and everywhere in between. There's another Rav Rimon, who is a Machaber Svarim, who is the author of numerous Svarim. And these Svarim range from halachic topics, philosophical topics, topics of interest of the time. So for instance, for those who have the opportunity of buying his Shemitah book, which is in Hebrew and English at this point in time, or the Sefer that Rav Rimon put out just on the Yumei Chodesh Nisan, the times of the spring, which is right now at this point in time, or whether it be the Svarim which he writes about his Shalat and Shuvat. Rav Rimon just showed me about Corona. I happen to be on a rabbinic group where many people submit questions to Rav Rimon from across the world. 256 rabbis, and or whether it be the answers and the questions and answers that he submits to the young men and women in the Israeli army for whom he serves as a posek. Rav Rimon is a Mechaber Svarim. And then there's another Rav Rimon that one also has to meet, and that is the Rav Rimon who looks at Israeli society and says, there must be something we could be doing better to fix the situation here. And so whenever there happens to be a void in society, then Rav Rimon works out what is the best way to get from point A to point B. What is the, we'll call the missing link that if we fill will be the best link to help the chain move. And so in 2005 and 6, what that link was as we as a shul partners, Rav Rimon, was Job Katif, allowing those people who were expelled from Gush Katif to find jobs. Because if you find them jobs, you're going to solve many more financial issues down the line, emotional issues, psychological, social issues in Israeli society as a whole. And Rav Rimon has consistently found that. So one of the examples we worked together a few years ago was a program Rav Rimon worked out. There was a particular segment of demographic in society who really needed an extra push just to get into society, and that is the Ethiopian community. And so Rav Rimon worked out a program to ensure that young Ethiopian young ladies would get the training to become nurses, to become contributing members in society as well. There's another program which we're going to be learning about a little bit later this evening, Bezrat Hashem, just to understand the missing links in society that Rav Rimon is able to find. I personally do not know where all these three Rav Rimons have the time for everything they're doing single-handedly. But then the funny thing is that all these three Rav Rimons happen to be the same person. And so then one has to wonder, how is it absolutely possible without an incredible amount of siyata dishmaya for one human being to be able to do this? It is with a great pleasure that we welcome, and I would say it's a very special thing because our community, under the auspices of Dr. Dean Stagg and our charity committee as a community as a whole, have trusted intimately throughout many of the processes, many of the crises in the last few couple decades, Rav Rimon's leadership and Rav Rimon's ability to be able to find the right place while he's still also Mechaber Svarim, while he's also leading his own community and enabling us to be part of that journey. It is with great respect that I ask Rav Rimon to join us this evening talking on the topic of Shalot under fire. Questions that come under fire while Israeli soldiers are facing some of the most difficult of topics. B'chavad Rav.
Erev tov, shalom lechulam, birshut harav, toda rava. It's so nice to be here, and especially that so many years, I think 17 years, that we're working together with Dr. David Dinstag, with Eliat Lauer, and with your community. It started with Job Katif, but every time I progress with another program, so your community was a part. And it's very exciting to see good people that are trying to do good in the world. So, Toda Rabah for everyone. Toda Larav. Shira is also here. Shira Felber, that she's one of the executive directors of also the Chinuch and also the Chesed and now the soldiers that will speak in the end. That's Toda Shira. Shalom. You know, there are lots of exciting things to speak in halacha. There are a lot of exciting things to speak in today, Medinat Israel. But I think that soldiers is something very exciting, especially. Reb Shloim Zalman Oirbach, that was one of G'dolei Hador, once his student from Kol Torah told him, Rebbe, I want to go to the north to daven on Kivrei Tzadikim. I need to translate Kivrei Tzadikim. Tzadik. I don't know if there's a word in English for tzaddik. How do you say tzaddik? To the rabbis that passed away on the graves. So Reb Shloim Zalman Oirbach told him, better that you'll continue and learn in yeshiva. And then he says, Rebbe, don't you feel that you need from time to time you to go to daven, to pray in Kivrei Tzadikim, the grave of tzaddikim? So Reb Shloim Zalman Oirbach told him, I fear, but for this, I don't need to go till the north. He lived in Beit Vagan. When I want to daven to pray on Kivrei Tzadikim, I ask my driver to stop on Har Herzl. When the place of the Chayalim that are buried there on Kiddush Hashem. And actually to speak today on our army, this is the main part of our redemption. And I want to explain, before I start, just to explain a little more. You know, there's something very strange that in a few days we are going to have Yom HaZikaron. Memorial Day, Yom HaZikaron, and straight away Yom HaAtzmaut in Israel, Independence Day. Why are they close to each other? So one of the main reasons that they are close is because, why are they close? So one of the main reasons is because of Gush Etzion. Gush Etzion, this is, I'm the Rebbe of Gush Etzion. So Gush Etzion, before the foundation of Medinat Israel, few years before, they went there to settle around. It was a very important place because Gush Etzion was a place that blocked all the Arabs that wanted to attack Jerusalem. And later on, Ben Gurion will say that the state of Israel, the first thanks is to Lochamei Gush Etzion, to who were in Gush Etzion, that they stopped the Arabs to come to Jerusalem. And the Arabs knew how Gush Etzion is an important place, and they tried all the time to attack Gush Etzion. And a few months before the foundation of Medinat Israel, the Arabs brought lots, units, big, lots of soldiers from Jordan to try to attack Gush Etzion. And they came there, and the people in Kfar Etzion saw it's too risky. So they sent the wives, the mothers, and the children to Jerusalem. And it was very difficult. One day before the foundation of Medinat Israel, Dalet V'Iyar Tashach, the Arabs came, thousands and thousands. In Kfar Etzion, they were 250. And they had so much, many soldiers and weapons that all the Lochamei Kfar Etzion, all the fathers that they were left, they had no weapon anymore. everything finished. So they saw they have no choice, so they surrender. But you know, they told the Arabs, you won't do anything. They said, of course, they must do it. So, you know, it's something, a law in the Chok Ben Leumi, after the first war, that you mustn't touch, you can take them in prison. But then they told them, okay, you'll stand for a picture. We want to photo you. All students appear for a picture. And they shot and they killed all of them. 252 were killed. And after the foundation of Medinat Israel, people from Gush Etzion, other places, they went to Ben Gurion and told him, we want that Yom HaZikaron will be Dalet Be'iyar on Lochamei Gush Etzion. In the same day that they killed them at night, was fire, but in the same, this Dalet Hei Be'iyar was the foundation of Medinat Israel. So it's close one to the other. 19 years afterwards, the children came back to Gush Etzion and built Gush Etzion again, what we see today. And from time to time I ask myself, what did they think in the last minute of their life? I suppose they thought all the dream was for nothing. No Gush Etzion, everything, the Arabs conquered everything. If they would be able to open their eyes for 30 seconds and to see what we have today in Gush Etzion. Thousands and thousands, dozens of people, and yeshivos and shuls and people that influence all the state of Israel, so that they could understand that the dream wasn't for nothing. The daydream, the Siyata Dishmaya, took time, but someone continued, the children continued the dream. You know, people are afraid to dream because they don't know if they succeed. And this story tells us, don't be afraid, dream. And when you dream, especially on Am Yisrael, Yehudi lo mafsik lachlom. Jewish people, all our life we were dreaming. If we wouldn't dream, we wouldn't be today here. And I think that maybe there is another reason why Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut is together. I think that also Yom HaZikaron, although it's a very sad day, it's a part of our independence. For 2,000 years, Jewish people were killed, but they weren't killed by soldiers. They weren't killed by being soldiers. They were killed because they were miserable and the goyim could come and kill us everywhere. Of course, in the Holocaust and before, in Masei Atzlav, in Gerus Sfarad, and to have an army and to fight, and also if they said that soldiers also got killed, but it's different than all the 2,000 years before. They were killed as soldiers protecting on our country, and Tzva Hagana Yisrael is a part of our redemption, a part of our Hallel in Yom HaAtzmaut. And I want to share a few questions that I received from soldiers, and actually I don't know, I have lots of questions, but I don't know if I spoke once on questions in this crowd or no, because I have to think which question to share with you. Do you remember that I shared here or something? No. Okay. What do you say? Oh, okay. So on this I won't speak now. I spoke once here, they say, on the three teenagers that were kidnapped. Then I gave a tshuva, something that influenced to find them. So on this I won't speak now. But I want to share a few things. I get lots of questions from soldiers, lots of them. And usually my books are this size. Almost all of them, just this Zmirot Shabbat with riddles in this introduction. This is small because Zmirot Shabbat is small. But why did I do the army book that I wrote for the soldiers? Why did I do small? It's exactly the size of an army pocket. And 26,000 soldiers have it with them. And I get lots of questions from army soldiers all the time. And to get questions from army soldiers, it's very exciting. It's exciting. You feel our army, you feel the morality of our soldiers. And I'll try to share a few questions. The war of Oferet Yetzuka. Oferet Yetzuka, I think, should be Kastled, right? Kastled. I got a telephone from an officer that he is an officer in engineer, in battle engineer in the Sakravit in the army, combat. And he told me that he prepares the soldiers how to be careful of mines. And he teaches them all the time, be careful. And he does it by PowerPoint. And then he says, I train them all the time because now it's war. I train them. I'm on the border of Gaza and then they go in. Also on Shabbos, I need to train them. All the time they go in Gaza. Usually I train them by using PowerPoint, computer. Can I use the PowerPoint on Shabbos? And before I answered him, he said, you know, actually, I don't need PowerPoint. I can use papers like this. I can print before, I can show them by papers. But I have to tell you that I know the army. I know the officers, the soldiers, and I know all the time. You have to be careful. And I asked him, when you teach with paper, or when you teach by PowerPoint, is it the same quality? And he said, it's almost the same. I told him, what do you mean almost the same? He said, look, PowerPoint is colored. PowerPoint, I can show things better. It's not exactly the same, but I can explain also here. So I told him, when you say almost, a soldier would be prepared better if he hears your lecture by PowerPoint, thought. And he said, yes. We have lots of tshuvos on what is exactly the average of Safek Pikuach Nefesh, you know, if you have also something far away, so, you know, Pikuach Nefesh, Doche Shabbat. If you know someone that is in danger, you may drive on Shabbos, and the Rambam says here in the first source, doesn't matter now, Dchuyai Shabbat, it's a Sakanat Nefashot Kishar Kol HaMitzvot, and Rambam says in the end of this paragraph, שספק נפשות דוחה את השבת. Also, if we have ספק, in the end of the first paragraph I read now, and I'm in the page it's written, שאלות חיילים המלחמה, yes? Okay? שספק נפשות דוחה את השבת. Now, there is a lot of discussions, and we should have a few pages to understand what is exactly ספק, you know, because also ספק, there are things that are so far away that we wouldn't consider them. It's suffix, not everything is. Suffolk. Someone came to me and said something on Shabbos. He doesn't know. He has something, doesn't matter now. Is one of the children to go to hospital, not to go. Now, sometimes when you want to ask if it's real Suffolk nefashos or no, I asked him, if you would be now in a trip in the north, you would cancel it and go to hospital? He thought a minute, he said no. I said, okay, so stay. Not everything is Suffolk, yes, something very far away. Not everything is Suffolk. Sometimes people are, yeah, okay. But in this case, I saw that it's real Suffolk. The Tshuvat Chatam Sofer, Tshuvat Rabbi Akiva Iger, I won't mention all this now. I told him, you have to use PowerPoint. And he used PowerPoint. Few days afterwards, I received a telephone from the army. And they told me that a school with 150 soldiers, an empty school that was empty because of the war. 150 soldiers were in the school in Gaza, and in the middle of the night, one of the soldiers went to the bathroom, and he saw somewhere a string. And according to what he learned in the PowerPoint, he said, it seems maybe, who knows, if it's connected to a bomb, to a... He woke up his officers, they checked it, and they saw it was connected to an enormous bomb of 200 kilograms of chomer nefetz, of 200. And they took everyone out and they saved them. And then I said to myself, wow, Baruch Hashem. Who knows? In Pikuach Nefesh, you can't take a risk. And Baruch Hashem, that it was okay. I came to be with the soldiers in Gaza, on the border. I was in the border, they were in all the time, they were in and out. And suddenly comes a soldier, he came out of Gaza. He looks, you know, crashed like it took him out from a sardine, tuna, when say tuna can. And he says, Rebbe, I was closed a week and a half in the tank. And I'm here now for a few hours, and I'm going back to the tank. And I have a question. What was his question? What bothers this soldier? A week and a half is closed in the tank, and now he goes back a few hours, comes. What bothers him? What do you say? What bothered him? What do you say? If he can put on tefillin. So it's similar. He asked if he can daven in the tank. You know what's the problem? Why not? You understand that in the tank, I don't know if you went once to a tank. In the tank there is no bathroom, no toilet. And the soldiers are not paro. I mean, you need to go to do something. And it's not... In a war, it hasn't got the best smell in a tank. Everything inside. You don't go out. And we have an halacha that we can't pray in a place that you have dirt. And I wrote it here briefly. In the end of the page, the Torah speaks on someone who went to the bathroom, even in wartime, he needs to cover it V'chisita etzeatecha, you see the last paragraph here, and underneath the bold, V'haya machanecha kadosh, you have to keep the camp that will be holy. You can't just not pray, not do other things if you have dirt in this place. And I didn't know what to do because we have a problem. We have two issues following the Gemara in Brachot Daf Kafei when you have dirt. First issue, that if it has bad smell, you can't daven it. Second issue, also if there is no bad smell. But if it's here in the room, you can't daven there. So you need it won't be in the room and that it won't have bad smell. And then I asked him, wait a minute, how do you do it? I mean, you do it in the tent, what do you do? They said, we have boxes. And we do it in a box. I asked him, you close it after? He said, yes. He said, ah, Baruch Hashem. Because you can see in the next page, the Biur Halacha speaks about if you do it betoch kli shemechitzoteh gvohin, if you put it in a box, then it's okay. And it's okay, but now we have another problem. What do we need? That it won't smell. I told him, okay, now go to the toilet, take spray that makes good smell. Before you start davening, spray the tank. Spray. Then before Shmone Esrei, again, spray. Then you can daven them. He was so happy. He hugged me, almost killed me. He was so happy that now he can daven, he can pray. This time of the war, a Rebbe from here, from the States, came to visit me in Alon Shvut. And he asked me, can you share with me questions that you were asked by army soldiers? And I shared a few questions, and one of them was this question. And then he said, what's the problem? This soldier doesn't need to pray his anus. I mean, his patu. Because in this situation, he doesn't need to pray. I told him, Rebbe, I got thousands of questions from soldiers. Never a soldier asked me not to pray. To tell the soldier you don't need to pray, it's not the answer. And I want to share with you a story that happened in my unit. I served in the army in tanks. In unit 188, Chativa 188. And I'm telling you a story that happened before I came there. I came after Shlomo Galil, and this was in the war of Shlomo Galil. But when I came there, I saw something that was written by an officer, non-religious, and a very exciting story. And he says that he went with the soldiers. They went there in Lebanon. And they went in Lebanon, Syria. And he tells all the tanks how to attack, what to do. So he says, Tachanot Namer, Namer, doesn't matter, like tiger, stations, Kan Kodkod. Kodkod is, in the when you speak in Okitoki, you know, you have codes. Kodkod is the top, is the commander. Tachanot Namer, Kan Kodkod, this is commander. You should see there in a few hundred meters, you should see there is something that we have to go to attack in a minute. Bachazit Lanu. And then he says, confirm. So all the tanks confirm. Kan Echad, this is tank number one. Kibalti. I got received. Kan Echad Aleph, Kibalti. Kan Echad Bet, Kibalti. Kan Shtayim, Kibalti. Shtayim Aleph, Kibalti. Shtayim Bet, Kibalti. Shalosh, Kibalti. Kan מברג, כאן קודקוד פומה, everyone there needs to say to confirm. And then, suddenly he hears in the walkie-talkie, קודקוד כאן אחד, commander, this is one. אני רוצה לומר תפילה בקשר. I want to daven in the walkie-talkie for everyone. And then the commander thinks a minute and tells him, אחד, כאן קודקוד, this is commander. עוד מעט אנחנו יוצאים להתקפה, אי אפשר להתפלל עכשיו. We are going a few minutes to attack, you can't pray now. אם אתה רוצה, תתפלל באופן אישי. If you want, pray privately. And then this soldier, again in the walkie-talkie. קודקוד כאן אחד. חשוב מאוד לומר תפילה לפני היציאה לקרב. It's very important to daven before we go in battle. And then the commander says, בסדר, אבל זריז. Okay, but hurry up. And then he takes the walkie-talkie, this soldier, and tells everyone, תחנות נמר, כאן אחד, station, כאן אחד. And he says a short prayer that we say when we go in battle. אתם יוצאים היום למלחמה על אויביכם. אל ירח לבבכם, אל תראו ואל תחפזו ואל תארצו מפניהם. אנא השם הושיע נא, אנא השם הצליח נא. אנא השם היה עם חיילי צהל, השם help, חיילים, שלוחי עמך, הקריבים היום למלחמה, help, the soldiers, חזקנו ואמצנו, ריב הריבנו, לחם את מלחמתנו, help us in our war. And then this commander says himself, he said that he felt all his body, you know, something passed when he heard this. And then the commander took the walkie-talkie and said, כאן קודקוד, קודקוד, you remember what is it? Commander. כאן קודקוד, אמן. תחנות נמר, אשרו לפי הסדר. Confirm. And then everyone, כאן אחד, אמן. כאן אחד א', אמן. כאן אחד ב', אמן. כאן שתיים, אמן. שתיים א', אמן. שתיים ב', אמן. כאן מברג, אמן. כאן קודקוד פומה, אמן. Everyone confirm. And then the commander said, the battle wasn't easy. We had wounded, we had people that were killed. And he said, I'm not religious. But this davening kept me and gave me koach all the war. And to understand, to tell a soldier, oh, you don't need to pray. This is not an answer. And you see soldiers, and you see soldiers in the army, religious, non-religious. You feel that in the end, something inside, they feel the kesher with Hashem, the praying to Hashem. I have to tell you, I went in the war a few times, but once when I went, I think this community helped me. I think from here also, we bought thermal shirts and other things to bring the soldiers in the field and I went there. I gave thermal shirts and special socks and then lots of soldiers came to me and said, non-religious, they said, Rebbe, did you bring us tzitzis? I said, no, I brought you thermal shirts. They wanted tzitzis. I didn't bring because, you know, I didn't come as a Rebbe. I came to help them and to see that they wanted. They wanted tzitzis in this minute.
There was also something just now, before Vesta, the idea of when people to come to Kevin Yosef. It was the first time after many years that they went during the day. And the commander said to everybody, he said, and now we are going, he said, ההרס של מתחם קברו של יוסף. במקום זה הובטחה הארץ לאברהם אבינו, כנאמר, לזרעך אתן את הארץ הזו. ואנו פועלים היום ביד רמה, כאבותינו שעל יציאת ממצרים בפסח, שנחגג עוד 3 ימים. אומר הכתוב בעצם היום הזה, לא כגנבים בלילה, אלא כבני מלאכים. כך אנו זוכים להשיב את כבוד הארץ ועם ישראל.
He says that when they try to now to conquer again Kever Yosef, so also the commander said, look, it's we are coming back to the place that our parents were here. Not always it's like this, but from time to time you can see, you know, I received a lot of questions, a lot. From soldiers, that when you hear it, you say, wow, Tzva Hagana Yisrael, Tzal, the IDF, is so musari, so morality, moral. And sometimes you look in the world, they can speak about Tzahal, and you say, who are you that you speak about Tzal? You don't come close to the moral reality of the soldiers. I'll just tell you the things that I get. Someone showed me newspaper in London that it speaks about the soldiers, our soldiers that are cruel, and there's a picture there of an Arab with his hands like this, and the soldier kicks him. And they show our... And then he told me, I have the original. He showed me. It's like this. But he has a knife. But they didn't show it, you know? Showed just in here. And it's a problem because all the time we are dealing with people that are trying to lie and to do things that are not moral at all and to kill and... Tzal behaves all the time in a very high level. It's not simple at all. I have to tell you that because of this, I gave a hater that 20 years ago I wouldn't think to do it. But I have a long letter here somewhere, that a long of officer that asked me about photoing on Shabbos. He is in the army and his mission is to video and to photo everything. Because when there is something happens in Gaza or other place, if we don't photo it, the journalists, they can say whatever they want to say. And sometimes they have people there from lots of places in the world. They can lie, they can say things. And I read all the things, and I told him today, I think that to photo, to video things, and to tell the truth, it's pikuach nefesh. Because if the world has lies on us, and from this something, who knows what can happen? They can force us to stop something in the middle of a battle or other things, because as if we are not okay. So, no choice. So you have to video, you have to photo on Shabbat. You agree? This is the situation today. This is the situation. And I want to share a few short things just to see, and then I'll finish shortly. An officer came to me few years ago. They were in Gaza. They had to catch 5 terrorists that were leaders there. That they did all the time terror attacks in Israel. And he said, look, I have 2 ways how to do it. The first way is to bomb them. I can do it over by aeroplanes. Or maybe other way with tanks and to bomb when I know that they are in a place. But then I know that I'm going to kill them and another five people around. I won't kill just them. The other option is Lashav. You know what is Lashav? Lamed Shin Bet. Lochama Beshetach Banui. To go inside and to go from house to house with soldiers till you kill them. What's the problem? If you go with soldiers from house to house, 100% that will have few soldiers that will be killed. It's very dangerous to go inside because the terrorists are everywhere. Now I have to say, I don't think that there are a lot of forces in the world that have questions like this. Now it's complicated what to do and what are the rules. In the bottom line, I think that usually, look, we wouldn't do it if we would have to bomb all Gaza, yes? We wouldn't kill 1,000 people for. But if you kill a few people that are around those terrorists, I think that this is the right way and not to risk our soldiers to go from house to house. This is something that we have to prove, and I have lots of sources on it, but I'm not going to speak. But just to tell you that all the time, our army thinks all the time how to be, to act in the right way and to be, to be best soldiers and best army, but also to be with a very high standard of morale. And I'll just end with another example that I got from a soldier in Gaza. All the houses were empty in this area because the Arabs ran away. And a soldier phones me and says, Rebbe, my cell phone is going to be in few minutes out of charge because the battery is going to finish. May I charge it in the electricity of the Arab house that I'm staying here? Or is it gezel? Maybe I'm stealing. To think on a soldier's self presence like this. Half a search in France, in I don't know where could you find soldiers like this? Now really, I don't think it's a problem. And although it's all the next page here, Tinat Pelefon de Chashmal Shel Aravi. We know gezel agoy, you know, הגוזלת הנוכרי חייב להחזיר לנוכרי. חמור גזל הנוכרי מגזר ישראל מפני חילול השם. We don't steal also from going. And it's even more terrible to steal from going than to steal from Jewish people, because when you steal from going, it's also חילול השם. חילול השם. I need to translate חילול השם?
No.
Okay. It gives bad name. And you can't steal. But we know that in wartime it's different. Also in wartime, I'm showing in the rules, it's not that you can take private things. You cannot. Also in wartime, the army can take. A soldier can't take anything. The army can take things, and then the state can decide what to do with them. But if it's something that you need now, so Rambam says in the last paragraph here, חלוצי צבא כשיכנסו בגבול אקום ויכבשו וישובו מהם, מותר להם לאכול נבלות וטרפות ובשר חזיר וכיוצא, אם יראה ולא מצא, מה יאכל מאחרות האסורים. You can eat, Rambam says, not just that you can take from the going food, you can take also not kosher food if you are in wartime and eat. Because now you need it. It's not something that you are taking for to keep a watch from an Arab. And if he needs to charge the cell phone, I see no problem. Also, it's nothing. And actually, you know, the Arabs don't pay the electricity bill in any case. So it's not that it's the state of Israel is doing everything. But to see our soldiers, and when I hear again and again and again another question, I see, wow, we have a special army. And I want to end my... Someone came to me and he said, Rabbi, I have to ask you on your books. He said, I understand why you wrote in Haggadah Shel Pesach. Because Haggadah, you know, people can understand. I understand why you wrote two books on Hilchot Shabbos. And he goes over my books. He says, I understand the book on Hanukkah, the book on Purim, the book on Nisan Ve'Iyar, the book on Avelus, the book on Tfilin. He goes, and then he said, but there are two books that I have to ask you, why did you write them? And he asks, why did you write two books for the army soldiers? He said, this is unique. Why? And why did you write a Shemitah book? He said, this is unique. I want to ask you on... I thought a minute and then I told him. I get lots of questions. And I love to answer all of them. But when I get questions from soldiers or from farmers, and I get lots of them, I'm very excited. And you know why? Because I know for 2,000 years, rabbis did not receive questions, not from soldiers and not from farmers. And when I get those questions, I know we are in redemption time. We are in Geula. We have the privilege to see the dream that our parents were dreaming for 2,000 years, and we see it in our eyes. And to be a part of this Geula, it's exciting. And the soldiers, another question, they say, wow, 2,000 years we didn't have it. Someone asked me if you can say Hallel in Yom HaAtzmaut. I told him the question is not if you can say Hallel in Yom HaAtzmaut. The question is, why don't we say it every day? Baruch Hashem, the state of Israel, the army, it's wow, such a big miracle to see how Hashem loves us, how Hashem guides us. This is something that every day we should wake in the morning and say, Toda Rava, thanks Hashem for everything. And now, just in 3 minutes, I would like to share with you one of the projects that we are helping soldiers. And Shira, you will help me in this. I have to say, I think that all things in Chesed are important. Sometimes it's important to give someone money just that he can eat. Everything is important. But my goal in Chesed is to be able to help people to be independent. To help people to help themselves that I don't need to help them anymore. This is what we did with Gush Katif. That we brought 3,000 people of Gush Katif back in jobs. And we brought them to the average Gush Katif of unemployment in Israel. This is what we are trying to do with the Ethiopians and even to bring them to be academic, to be nurses in hospitals. And we have today 100 of Ethiopians in the Hebrew University that are learning without SAT. You know what is SAT? It's a real... Ifshar le'avin, ma zeh? It's end of Arkad, nothing like this in Israel. We did special testing instead. And we have the special thing on the soldiers. And this is what we want now, to try to help the soldiers. We have thousands of soldiers from needy family that we are helping them in a special way. At רוצה להסביר? And I'll just say, those soldiers, they were helping, supporting the families before they went to the army. They were working all the time because the families no money. And when they went to the army, so now no one can support the family. The army gives them a week or 2 weeks sometimes in a month to work. But the army discovered it doesn't help. Why? how can you find a job that will take you 1 week every month? People don't want you. We opened Ta'asu Chayil. Ta'asu is Ta'asuka, employment. Chayil is Chayalim, soldiers. To help the soldiers, not just to find a job, to help them with jobs, to guide them, to help them to have a future. And Baruch Hashem, thousands of soldiers, thousands, the army sends us all the time. And let's see one example in this movie.
I just want to say one sentence, that if a soldier needs to work and he doesn't get the work, so a lot of time they quit the army. And if someone quits the army in Israel, not in the time, so it will be very hard for them to be independent and to stand on their feet, because they have like a red mark on them. So that's why it's very important.
It's a very short movie, 3 minutes.
Hey, my name is Emmanuel. I was born in Israel 3 months after my parents arrived here. When I was 5 years old, they got divorced. When I was 9 years old, she sent me to boarding school. It was very hard for her to take care of me and my brothers too. And it was pretty difficult there. I got picked a lot of boys. At 16, I stopped going home because